Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium for the next 90 seconds.
Hey, thanks for coming back to the Video Nasty Project. Today's movie is going to be The Killer Nun, straight from the files of the Vatican. And, Will, the Pope's on the line for you. For you, yeah. Hello? Yes, sir. What do you say?
He says leave him out of it.
We should probably just roll the trailer then, shouldn't we?
Yeah, trailer.
May his soul burn in hell. Just the thought of what he did to me makes me want to take revenge on all men. To snuff them out like he snuffed out my happiness.
No, sister. That's enough.
Oh, Matilda, silly fool you are. You've been rolling your eyes at me ever since you were transferred here.
You will help me, won't you, Doctor? I promise I'll make you very happy. Vocation to suffer.
Life has always been difficult.
I'm sorry, Mother. What did you say?
Nothing. I agree, Sister Mathieu.
I swear on this cross I'm innocent.
Please take Sister Gertrude to her cell. Give her a sedative, Sister Louise.
I think Sister Gertrude could freak out any second. Why did you kill Jeannot, Sister?
Don't you have any faith in the police, huh?
Mm-mm. No.
You're wrong to be so pessimistic. The police solve crimes. It's their job.
The police look out for their own interests.
This is the scalpel. What's wrong with you this morning?
You know what's wrong, Doctor.
She discovered certain discrepancies in the drug register. My son was responsible. He was addicted to it. It was morphine. Of course, I should have reported it.
We just got done seeing Killer Nun. With Anita Ekberg, who, okay, if you know her from one movie, it's going to be La Vita Dolce, where she was dancing in the fountain and she was just tearing up Italian screens with her blazing sexuality. She's not so sexual here. So the story is, you have Anita Ekberg, and she plays Sister Gertrude. And Sister Gertrude, she just recently had an operation on her brain because she had a tumor, cancer or something, we're not really sure. And so she's just recovered enough to do her job at this sanitarium.
Yeah, it's out in the country and only the best, well, they have a lot of high profile people like a baroness and people like that there.
So they're working, she's working at a healthcare facility of some sort under the Catholic guise.
Mm.
And the head of the facility and the lead doctor says, nah, you're fine, go back to work. And she's like, my brain still hurts, I'm not quite recovered yet. And so that's when she gets addicted to the smack. So Sister Gertrude, she's making her way through the day. She's trying to cope with this intense pain in her brain.
She's having visions and talks to basically the lead, the mother, Mother Superior, on the phone, saying that she needs her medicine. And she talks to the doctor who is treating her, and they both basically shun her. They tell her, it's not so bad. You know, just pray it away.
A nun's lot is to suffer.
Right. Suffer for the sins of humanity. You must take upon yourself and blah, blah, blah. And the doctor says, well, you know, you're not suffering so badly now. And giving you morphine would just make things worse. And she keeps telling them, I'm having problems here. And they ignore him. Shit starts.
Meanwhile, she starts getting gaslit by one of the other people on the facility. We don't know which. Okay, big spoiler, it turns out to be the lesbian nun at the confessional at the very beginning. And so she's going crazy. She's also got her her drug addiction. She's also wanting to go off the farm a little bit, where she goes into the city. She goes into Rome and says, I gotta get me a man. And so she goes, finds this fellow at a bar, picks him up. And they have the most unsexy scene I've ever seen in my life. Just these two clothed people just grinding up against each other.
It was a very typical thing, and it made its way into media, and, you know, and now we have the exact opposite.
And the crazy thing is, if I don't know if you guys have ever seen La Vida Dolce, she absolutely just tears up the screen with sexuality. She was like a Swedish model. I mean, she just oozes sexuality. So for her to kind of hump her way through this rather boring and completely unsexy scene is like bizarre.
You know, it's very cosmopolitan. The characters, it's obviously just very adult. There's no stuff in it to really titillate younger people who might want to watch something about sex. It's just straightforward adult drama.
And so the movie is basically poor Sister Gertrude thinking she's going crazy, somebody trying to convince her that she's crazy, getting stonewalled from the bureaucracy on the other side, and just her tale of descent into madness. So since you like the movie, what did the movie get right for you then?
Well, I divested myself a lot of the time from the horror element and the fact that it was supposed to be giallo type, and just sat back and enjoyed the actual, you know, the what little plot there was of this woman trying to piece her mind together and failing, and then just going to any length she could to have some semblance of normalcy in her life. Sex, you know, taking control of whatever situation she was in because that's her job.
It, at its core premise is a very strong one. I mean, this could have been interesting. So, yeah, well, I can see why you might like it. It just didn't work for me and you.
And I like some of the setups. Like I said, I love the chase through the town where she leads this guy to their little encounter in somebody's apartment, you know, in the days when apartments didn't have buzzers, I guess. And that one tracking shot where she's walking past the people in the grassy area playing that game, and she has this just, I'm in control here. I'm just watching these people, but I could pretty much just take this place if I wanted and tell everybody what to do. And, you know, I'm the dominant, you know, character here. Like when she's dominating everybody with that exercise routine, you know, where she's making everybody do this thing over and over again. It's so evil. And the new doctor comes in and says, what are you doing? You know, everybody, all of you, go inside now. Get out of here.
Yeah, because they're all, you get close-ups on their, like, their faces and their brows all sweating, and they're, you know, these 80, 90-year-old people who can barely lift their hands anymore.
She is punishing the fuck out of them. That's when she's actually living up to the potential of Killer Nun. She can make these people have heart attacks.
Well, that's why I was saying, if the name of the film had been Sadist Nun.
Yeah, she definitely was that.
I really was. Like,
I mean,
okay.
I got the feeling, I mean, she was well cast. Anita Ekberg was perfectly cast in this movie as having this quiet, you know, domineering, you know, personality.
Well, she very expressive with her face.
Yeah,
you knew where she was at by the look in her eyes. She's not a bad actress.
Oh,
not
no.
in any sense of the word. I just wish somebody had written better material.
Yeah, it's the writing, definitely. To a degree. I mean, there's some other stuff in there.
Let's qualify that. I'm going to qualify my view of the circumstances that the visuals, the scene setups, and the non-dialogue elements of the film are a part of the writing. So the writer, he really knew what he wanted,
but he just couldn't quite get all the way.
Yeah. So in terms of basically the opposite of what you want from a movie like this is the thing that grabbed me, the actual killer parts were relatively tame, but the other stuff was good. You know, if you just completely forget that it's supposed to be a slasher film, essentially. When I saw the trailer for this a couple of weeks ago, I thought, oh, I don't want to see this. This doesn't look any good.
I have so many things where I'm like, why couldn't you have? The older doctor, for example, her setting him up to get rid of him. That should have, in my mind, the way I'm looking at the structure of this story, that should have happened earlier. The younger doctor should have been brought in sooner.
He could have been the protagonist who is unearthing all the problems. He's unearthing, is Gertrude really killing people? Does she really need more time off because her brain just been exposed? He could have done all the investigative stuff and led us on the story.
She starts coming on to the doctor that replaces the one Sister Gertrude basically falsely accused of not doing his job properly. It's like, yeah. Oh, this place has fallen apart. It's this doctor's fault. And she talks to the director. And he says, are you sure? Yeah, I mean, are you sure this is the case? And she says, yes, you know, basically get rid of him. So the director gets rid of the head doctor. He comes up to her and says, I don't blame you for what you said, blah, 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 and leaves. And then this younger doctor comes in and shit continues.
Well, yeah, and one of the things that really happens after the new doctor is on the scene is he goes to the director and goes, okay, I've been through all of his files. Okay, this guy is supposed to be inefficient.
The dude's on point. What the hell, man?
All of his diagnoses were 100% accurate. What really happened? And the director kind of comes clean.
Yeah, and he's typical of that kind of character where he's in a situation he doesn't quite understand, but he's got this employee who's got a grievance, and he has to basically, is either his hands are tied or he's going to do something that compromises his moral compass.
Yeah.
And he goes against his moral compass and gets the doctor fired. But it wasn't Sister Gertrude's fault, because she's being fucked with. And so she's following her natural instincts because she's thinking this guy is basically working against her, you know, trying to regain her sanity. So get rid of him and get somebody who can actually help her. And I also blame not only the Mother Superior, but a couple of the other characters in there were driving her insane slowly with their antics.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of compounded everything, like the woman who took out her dentures and put them in the glass on the dinner table. It's like, well, no, you don't do that. You put your dentures in. If you want to put them in the glass, you put them on your bedstand. It's like, why did you do that?
My take from that scene was that the guy, the director is thinking in his head, okay, I want Gertrude to do something heinous with this woman's dentures, and I want there to be witnesses. It's basically where I, because that whole scene could have just as easily have been done at night. Gertrude's helping the gal get ready to go to bed, and then could have easily have been done that way.
What I would have done if I were writing this movie is I would take scenes like the denture stomping and I would play that up. I would show her just flying off the rails. I would live up to the Killer Nun title. I would have her go into town and not just one man that she fucks and then leaves. No, she fucks him and then murders him and then fucks the next one and murders him and then fucks the next one. So it's this weird,
Gertrude should have actually been the killer.
It should have been embraced their insanity.
Well, I mean, it's a red herring, obviously, and there was a killer nun in the movie. It just wasn't Gertrude. But it's made so plainly obvious at some point that that Sister Matthew is up to no good when she keeps helping Sister Gertrude by pushing the man she killed, who she gave a blunt force trauma, you know, hit this one guy over the head repeatedly until he was dead, pushed his body out the window to make it look like a suicide. Oh, I cleaned up after you. And Gertrude's like, what the fuck? Why did you do that?
So it's trying to be a whodunit, but it can't really compose the list of whodunits and the motives and a coherent story to get that through line.
Yeah.
My problem with it was is they were striving too hard to convince you that Gertrude is the killer without ever showing her killing anybody, that I was convinced she's not the killer.
I mean, I started having my doubts, but the first death, I thought, okay, that's her, because she just stood outside the door of the room with the old woman dentures she'd taken, and that old woman started hyperventilating, started having, you know, heart attack, and the doctor said, what are you standing there for? Go get, you know, adrenaline or whatever.
Yeah, go with the adrenaline for her heart.
And she just stood outside and counted while the woman was having a breathing problem. And then, you know, that's it. Gasped her last. And that was directly her fault. That was a matter of her taking this woman's property and breaking it in front of everybody and freaking her out to the point where she had basically had an apoplectic fit and literally killed her with meanness. But that was a matter of her being out of her mind, you know?
They could have gone a little further in the, okay, is it the smack that's causing her to run around and be murderous? But they have a little bit of that, because they have that one scene where she shoots up and then all of a sudden starts tripping out and hallucinations, and like you see back to her brain surgery.
Yeah.
And then like there's this intermittent cuts of this guy coming over and say, hey, are you okay? Can I help you? Can I help you? And then all of a sudden somebody, it might have been Gertrude, it might have been somebody else, starts bludgeoning him with this lamp. And I'm like, okay, that could have been Gertrude in her drug-induced haze. That could have been somebody else. You needed to really play that up more.
It was an Argento moment. It was one of those instances where you've got all this weird imagery with this really weird-ass music, and it's a holy shit, and you don't know what's real or what's not. I thought it was a perfect hallucination scene, because it made everything so unclear and unbalanced that it could have been two or three different things. It could have been her committing the murder, her watching the murder, or somebody else doing the murder. And then there's the bits, as you said, I was going to bring up with her brain surgery scene. The Mother Superior walks in and kind of looks down at her, you know, with that look on her face, like, we're fixing you, dear. You'll be all right. And I'm thinking, yeah, they fixed her. No, they fucked her. I'm thinking they did something with her mind, with her brain. Like, they didn't fix her. They broke her.
Because right after that, she goes into the morgue, or a morgue-like area, sees the guy on the slab, and starts fantasizing about him, and the sheet just kind of drifts away, pulled by off-screen stagehands, but it just kind of miraculously floats away. And, you know, and there's this big, massive dong, again, and she's like, no, I don't want to touch it. I shouldn't touch the forbidden fruit, and then goes off to do more crazy. So, yeah, they really needed to build that up more.
Now, a freaking plot twist would have been if it was the Mother Superior, but the Mother Superior's never actually at the hospital.
So getting back to pacing of the story and whatnot, I thought the whole gotta go find a man not only was unsexy, it also kind of killed the narrative stone dead for that 10 or 15 minutes the subplot was going. It did nothing. It moved the story forward zero. And so that scene could have wound up on the cutting room floor, and nobody would have missed a blink.
Well, yeah, taking into consideration that our initial introduction of these two the two nuns, and the fact that they're rooming together, and Gertrude seduces, and then I'm gonna go find a man. What?
What?
Well, yeah, but she says, you know, she basically takes Matthew to task for trying to come on to her. She says, I'm not gay. You know, Matthew is either gay or bi. She's not. She wants a man. She wants a dick. She doesn't want the touch of another woman. I mean, a lot of women have a problem with that. They're repulsed by others of their kind. Yeah. And so going into town and finding her big O with this guy is the only way she's going to find satisfaction, because, you know, a vibrator ain't going to do it or whatever. So she... just wants the sweat and
That's a very valid point. It's just my initial take, and is that she wasn't reluctant.
Yeah, she didn't flinch from Matthew's first sister yeah. Matthew's first advance. Maybe she didn't know how far Matthew was going to go with it.
Yeah.
Or maybe she was just, you know, thinking, well, I've known her for a long time. I've been here 10 years. I've known her for a number of years. She's an all right person. And then her brain starts going into that mode, and she basically verbally bitch slaps her. Says, what do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are? I'm not gay. You know, you've tried to seduce me with your little body, you whore. And, you know, that's when the whole thing turns around between them. That's the moment where all the shit just goes, just ramping it up a bit more.
Mm, yeah.
Because she's a little whore. I don't like her. But I did find it, I mean, even though it might kill the pacing, I did find it actually organically placed within the narrative. It didn't feel like it was tacked on. It was an evolvement.
I suppose I wouldn't be so feeling of it being tacked on if they actually went somewhere with it, if it actually did something. If it had turned into the whole fatal attraction, I'm going to fuck a man and then kill a man.
Yeah, although I was thinking, why is this different from other films of its type? It's because this woman, I mean, she's a nun, she's inhibited to a degree, she doesn't want to go, you know, whole on the hog in case she commits a vile sin, but this is sex, this is sin, but how sinful is it really? And so she's not going to go and strip it all off and get completely vile and then wake up and go, what the fuck have I done? I've got 1,000 male Harrys, our father, you know, and basically whip herself and confess the sin and down on her knees and praying and, you know, what if the priest says, oh, you just went and fucked a man. No, you get to burn in hell for 5 years or whatever. It's the whole sin and redemption and, you know, how far do you take this kind of thing?
I don't think the element of there being that these people are Catholic is actually there enough.
It's just kind of lip service Catholicism.
It's a religious setting. We established that because they're wearing habits, and that's it.
And they quote Latin mass, the Latin and all that.
But it just doesn't get driven.
The movie needed to be a lot more taboo.
Yeah.
There needed to be more.
The sleaze factor, as you said earlier. Another.
There needed to be more, I feel filthy, I feel tarnished kind of thing for doing this. And
what I think what really would have helped us is if one of the central characters had actually been the Mother Superior. If she'd actually been there more.
Yeah, her presence.
Or the new doctor comes in and starts.
Way earlier.
Yeah, way earlier.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a whole lot of religious imagery outside. You didn't see like a lot of statues or the globe with a cross or anything like that.
Well, there was that one scene where she grabs the syringe full of smack and she holds it up like it's a chalice the lighting is all like very holy and ridiculous. So there is a little bit of clever commentary on religious stuff, but it's not very strong.
I just think her giving a communion with the wafers and wine would have been a wonderful, you know, just... Oh, yeah, we're going there. She's just fucked a man, and she goes and gives wafers and white hair.
So at the end of the day, what we're saying, I think, is that this movie is too respectable for its own good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So is it appropriate to leave Killer Nun off of the list?
I think it's relatively mild. I mean, there were a couple of sickening deaths, but they were sporadic. And didn't linger too much.
I'm going to leave it off the list, too, because, all right, the pins to the face scene, that's actually kind of disturbing, but not that gory.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of that would land it on the sensorial radar would be that it's blasphemous.
Yeah, very overall tone would send a lot of people to church to pray this movie away.
Yeah, the blasphemy laws in England are pretty crazy, or at least we're back in the 80s, so that probably what twigged them.
But outside of that, it's just a typical adult drama, but with some gore.
Lands very, very tiny amounts of gore.
Yeah.
So, all right, acquitted all around.
Mm-hmm.
And me, amigo, do you like Killer Nun?
I'm actually more ambivalent. I saw the merit in the production value. It's just somebody fell asleep at the wheel when putting the story itself together.
Did you like Killer Nun?
I just liked it enough to put it above a meh, but not enthusiastic.
At the core, it should have been a interesting, fascinating, sleazy as hell title. I mean, you've got killer nuns, you've got a great cast, you've got all these components that should have fit together to be this sleazy piece of awesomeness, and it just doesn't do it.
It felt like a Dario Argento movie at the beginning with the music and the way it opens and all that kind of stuff that makes you go, oh, maybe this is like Argento or Fulci or one of those other Italian directors.
It needed to embrace the sleaze a lot like House of the Holy Beast did, with like nuns whipping each other in a whip fight.
For years, I've owned a movie called Nude Nuns with Guns. I thought that was going to be, this was going to be like that. I was expecting, you know, Tarantino, you know, going to come in and blah, 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 and blow people away.
A lot more grindhousey than drama.
Because this is a classy production, clearly. I mean, there's got some great camera work. There's this great shot of the sister walking across this field with the people outside. They're playing a game, and there's this beautiful tracking shot, and you get the depth and scope of this place. And I thought, that's a really good, you know, classy shot there.
And I thought the scene where she was in the confessional with the pullback was really good. Yeah. And the lighting was really good.
And she was the only person in the church there, and that was like kind of like isolating her from everybody else.
It's strong production values with no soul.
It's good. It's a good movie. In terms of production value, but in terms of what you go there to see when you want to see tawdry, it doesn't have a whole lot of that.
All right, so yay. It's not sleazy enough for its own good.
Well, yes, but no. I'm sorry, we don't have that film. Well, I mean, we really appreciate that you came and you watched the Video Nasty Project and you clicked like and the bell, so that you get alerted. Oh, that's awesome. And email the Video Nasty Project at gmail.com. Okay, awesome. We really don't have that film. Next week is going to be The Living Dead at the Manchester Morgue. Okay. Well, thank you. Bye.
We're going to get so hate mail for this.
Yeah.
Look at his legs, full of spring. And the one in the middle is doing its thing.
Shame.